Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country?
Get a new 2026 Subaru Forester with 1.9% APR financing for up to 63 months.
Easy to deal with, easy to get to. Byers Airport Subaru.
By the airport!
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/26.
ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station. KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Final hour of the show, and then we hand it off to the boys called The Blitz. Fred and AJ will take you home, or at least until 7.
And
whichever
Aaron.
Comes first. And Aaron. Yeah, I don't.
You should.
5:30, sir.
Fred and AJ. Oh, 5:30. That's right. 5:30 is the cutoff time. If you want to text the show or call us, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. You can text it. You can call it. You can hit us up on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny. We try to be as interactive as possible. And we're going to get to what I teased in just a second. Somebody asked us on the text line who we would like to see replace Jason Witten in the Monday Night Football booth, and we have an answer for you. But, boys, I have some breaking news here.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I got the call to go up to the big leagues.
What's that mean?
I'm not suggesting that I'm better than you guys, but I've been asked to return to defend my belt.
Oh no.
To defend my crown.
At the camel race?
Yeah.
No.
Remember, yeah. And you were bitching about the fact you didn't think they were going
to
do it.
Because it was supposed to go down in January. It happened
Dude,
in January.
Coco Beware kicks your ass again. Coco Dominguez.
I didn't race her. She was no. Coco
no,
was
Nick
in the
and
second
I did
one.
The research. They said her time, her
you kissed my
her
ass,
splits
Joseph.
Were like way better than
Joseph,
yours.
There were no splits.
You tried to do the splits. Her splits on timing were way better than yours.
Well, it's going down March 15th or Saturday, March 16th.
GoPro again.
Technically, since you haven't defended your belt, you're not a. They basically stripped you of your title.
Yeah.
Because there's been how many races since the last time you've won?
Watch him check his schedule. He's going to be out of town. Nick, you're going to be on a camel.
I just know you guys are out of town, too.
No,
y'all are in Dallas.
That's next week.
Yeah, 15th and 16th. Y'all are in Dallas, and I'm in San Antonio. I'm not doing the shows with you because y'all are in Dallas.
Right.
So I'm off the 14th and 15th because I'm in San Antonio on a gig. I can't defend my crown.
Aaron's going to have to do it. One of the producers. Or AJ or Fred. Let's have Fred do it.
What a peer.
Oh, my God.
No, Fred, everybody's in Dallas. Fred, AJ.
Yeah, Fred, AJ. It's going to have to be
Patrick Creighton. It's going to definitely have to be Patrick Creighton.
That poor camel?
What about
poor camel? Suits, what are you trying to say,
suits
sir?
Put and Creighton in a grudge match.
Is it racist if we just get Raheel to do it?
Oh, wow.
And you're mad about
you
my dot comment?
The, yeah,
don't even talk no more. Don't even talk no more, Barry. And
man.
I'm the racist for the dot comment.
I was just asking a question.
Just a bit outside. Hey!
Boy, we should make Cody Stoots do it.
I think that would be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
You know what would happen?
That camel would be like army crawling.
No. Grudge match with Cody and Creighton, and Cody's going to be winning, and Creighton's going to start yelling, and the freaking camel that Cody's on is going to just veer right off the track going, I can't take it!
Oh, man. That would be outstanding.
There's like, could you imagine if you put Patrick Creighton
so
on one of the
I can't
camels?
Do this.
Like, how many people would it take to match the weight? You know what I mean? Like, would it be like two or three people in a row or four people in a row?
Like one of those planes like where a, you have to like, oh, we need somebody to move to the left side of the plane.
Because like, if it's like a female reporter, planes. It's probably going to take five of them on one camel just to match the weight.
You're so mean.
Right? Because they're tiny.
I'm not getting in on this.
These are the words of Barry Lamb and Patrick Crane.
No, whatever. That's you.
He said that in the commercial break. I'm just...
By the way, when you did the show, did he ask you about me blocking him on Twitter?
At the end of the show, he mentioned it.
But he didn't.
He goes, you know, your boy blocked me on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I was there.
Zero tolerance policy. It wasn't personal. It certainly wasn't personal.
How many people have you blocked?
Six people. Since then, they thought they would be funny.
I saw Mr. Positivity. I saw he was blocked.
There were guys that thought they would be cute and make a spelling joke like P crate. And I was like, no, this is zero.
But he corrected you spelling y'all. So that's.
Doesn't matter. And no, Mr. Positivity did, even though I'd spelled it right. Doesn't matter, though.
Y'all is not a word. You can't spell that correctly.
Yeah, it's a contraction for you all. Y apostrophe A-L-L. You all.
Probably misspelled it.
No, I didn't. That was the thing. People were like, yeah, this dumbass got blocked. And you spelled it right to begin with. So, yeah, this, like I said, I was honest in my tweet when I said, if my mom corrects my spelling, I'm blocking her, too. Mm-hmm. There's just, I would totally do it. She knows that. Try me, Jenny. Try me. I'll block you. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't a personal thing with P-Crate. Although Lamont tried to stir it up, of course.
Of course.
He was out there retweeting, ooh, this dude blocked his own coworker. Yeah, you need to know the whole joke and the whole bit, Lamont. It wasn't just me trying to stir it up.
But if there's beef, I'll write about it. I'll misspell the hell out of it because I am the fake David Barron, baby. Yeah. Let's talk about that. I got the audio coming up next.
Oh, my God.
Barry took a shot at his mom. Let's talk about that. You want to talk about your mama? He's talking about his. He's mad about it, too.
Barry hates his mom.
Headlines.
Oh, that's
local
so
sports
funny.
Host hates mom. Here's the audio. Tomorrow, Barry will tell him, you know what? He really doesn't. It was all part
of
a bit.
Me, Joel.
He will not retract that one.
You are really bringing out the Snagglepuss laugh.
Yes, I am.
You are killing me.
Oh, he hates that, too.
Oh, that was too funny. Yeah, a lot of people do.
Then we tease the potential replacement.
Oh, yeah, we need to get
Jason
to that.
We're getting back to that. So, someone on Twitter, right? I mean, a text message said.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, okay, if Witten is gone, who would you guys want to replace Jason Witten in the Monday Night Football booth? I will let you go first, young man.
I have decided all along that I love what Lewis Riddick brings to football analysis. And I think Lewis Riddick, if he is going to be... This is where you get down to the whole Gruden discussion. And you and I have talked about this. All three of us have talked about this. Gruden should have stayed in the booth. It's where he was best. If Lewis Riddick is smart, he is a rising star in broadcasting when it comes to football. And I think Lewis Riddick would be great on Monday Night Football.
I think that's a good choice. I think I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Because... if you've seen some of his ESPN breakdowns, he dissects it like no other. And I think they tried with Witten. I feel like Monday Night Football tried to replicate what Tony Romo does.
Indeed.
Let's go get a guy. He's a cowboy. He's smart. He worked with Romo. I think that if you're going to try to replicate what Tony Romo brings you in broadcasting, then you need to get a guy like Peyton Manning. He's personable. He's funny. He's entertaining. Yeah. He knows the game. He can break it down. We've all seen that. That would be my choice.
It's a great choice.
I would back the truck up with money and just pay
and
that dude whatever he wants.
With his Saturday Night Live skits.
That's what I mean. He's personable. He's comfortable on the microphone. He can, you know, I think it would be entertaining because Romo's funny, but Romo's not, he's not the smoothest. But that's the thing is Peyton has polish also. He's got the knowledge and he can talk about the game, but he's really polished. And it can make it an easier and more fun listen.
I would have picked Peyton Manning, but I just want a quarterback, a guy that really knows. Like, I just think Tony Romo kind of set the bar in terms of being able to predict what some of these teams are going to do before it actually happens. And I think that's just an exciting factor. So if anybody with knowledge, even if they weren't that good on the field, Peyton Manning obviously is a great pick because not only is he well-spoken, he has the ability of being funny at least sometimes. I know a lot of it is like pre-written jokes for commercials that probably...
Right,
something he didn't come up with, but at least he...
Delivery is all everything. Delivery
he
is
has
everything.
Great delivery.
He's a pitch man that annoys people because he does so many commercials, but he does so many commercials for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because he's mastered script reading, timing, all those kind of things.
Someone said Randy Moss. I don't know if I could listen to the accent the whole time.
That's a good point.
I think the country twang would start to grate on me a little bit.
Just what we were talking about with rackets and all that. That on exactly. a national stage, it's going to be put under a microscope even more. The one that everybody on the lists was saying was I guess, I don't know if he was a finalist the last time, but someone is Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner doesn't have the personality
doesn't do it for me. No.
That Peyton does.
Right.
He's a little monotone, but he'll have the knowledge.
He does. Yeah, he'll have the knowledge.
But he, I don't know, just delivery for me. I need someone that I, because you already have Booger McFarlane, Booger, who a lot of people hate.
I realized that. I didn't realize that at first.
I didn't hate him as much as
social media. I found out how many people don't like that.
He didn't bother me. I mean, Witten bothered me, but it was just more of like, this guy is doofy. But I didn't get on my nerves. Like, a lot of people hated Witten and Booger McFarlane.
I think what happened with Booger is that he said a couple of jokes that were funny. And then I think he tried to force it a little bit too much on the broadcast later.
Yeah.
They hated the Booger Mobile too.
Did they?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, remember when he was talking about how he would never leave the sideline if he needed to use the restroom? I think that was fun, that kind of realness, you know. But I think to a certain extent, he was trying too hard in the wrong department, which was like the funny department.
Right.
You're more of a knowledge-based guy as opposed to just cracking jokes.
Yeah. You guys are both right. I mean, look, once Romo hit it out of the park, the reactionary thing for the other networks to do is to try and match that. You got to find the next one that can do what Tony did.
Yep.
Tony's just got a rare skill set, and he played a position where he knows offenses, he knows schemes, he knows audibles, and you know what? And he knows how to deliver it in a concise way so that people could absorb it and go, man, I'm learning something here. It's not like, just like we talked about, some people think radio, you just turn on the switch, you go, and anyone can do it.
Nope.
He's a rare commodity where he figured out how to do it.
Yeah, indeed. Let's get Clarence's thoughts on this before we hit a break. Clarence wants to talk Monday Night Football. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
Y'all touched on it with Snot-Nosed McFarlane, but my question was going to be, if you get a guy, i.e. Peyton Manning, who has a personality and has very great knowledge of the game, do you keep McFarlane on the broadcast with him?
It's a great question, Clarence, because it's been out there. One of the critiques of Monday Night Football, aside from the fact that you lost Gruden and Mike Tirico, was that they tried to do too much. They brought in two ex-players at the same time, and it's too busy a booth with three voices.
I think with Peyton Manning, you don't need another guy. If it depends on the person you get. If Kurt Warner, you might need a Booger McFarlane to break down the defense. You know, I mean, I'm not suggesting Kurt Warner doesn't know, but I feel like with Peyton Manning, you would be so enamored with how he breaks down both sides offensively, because that's the beauty of Tony Romo. Tony Romo is telling you what the offense is going to do because he's telling you what the defense is doing.
Right.
And so I think if you get the right quarterback that can do that, yeah, you don't need Booger McFarlane. You really don't. Because people would be so enamored. I mean, right now what they do is, because Witten talks a lot about blocking and tight ends, and that's literally it.
Yeah.
That Booger can really break down defensive lines and coverages and everything else. He wouldn't need that with a quarterback. They would have everything covered because it's their job to know both sides of the ball.
Yeah, the only thing you can really see is Booger covers the defensive schemes inside of the ball.
That's what I'm saying.
Manning covers the offense if you want to keep all three.
Right, but I mean, when you think about Romo, he'll break down coverage. Now, look, he'll point out these two safeties. You've got a single high safety right here. That means this is man coverage. Watch this motion. Watch this. They're going to throw this hitch route, and that's everything that happens, and he just broke down both sides of the ball. Because you think about it, a quarterback's job is to know what the running back is doing, know what receivers are doing, know the blocking scheme, know where the rush is coming from, and what the coverage looks like. That's pretty much everything on
the
field.
Who's the Mike linebacker,
that's
all that.
Literally everything on the field.
All right. So there's our thoughts. If you got them, give them to us. We'd love to have them, I guess. 713-780-3776. You can call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in the final hour of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. As we've been kicking around a lot of things and just got off the topic of Monday Night Football and the fact that with Witten out, who would you like to see in? I talked to Lance about Lewis Riddick, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, he really has maximized the exposure he's gotten on ESPN, and he's really good on the air. I said, was he really that good as a personnel guy? And he goes, he goes, I'm not going to say either way. He goes, but he's doing a great job on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you just put his all his business?
No, I mean, we were just, because I was wondering, because I was like, look, because remember now, a year ago, he was up for the GM job of the Niners.
Yeah.
And John Lynch got it. Now, there's a guy that everybody said, how did he get that job?
Right. Somebody said Ryan Clark.
I like Ryan Clark a lot.
And then several people are saying that Manning actually came out today and said no to it, which I didn't see.
Really? I didn't
hear that. That's disappointing. That's disappointing to hear. Throw more money at him.
And Lance didn't say Lewis Riddick wasn't good in the front office, but I was like, because I knew he was up for a general manager job, but I looked at his resume. He was in player personnel jobs, but he never was a general manager.
Yeah. Somebody said Terry Bradshaw would be hilarious on Monday Night Football.
Nope.
That would get on your nerves?
It would get on my nerves too,
man. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that.
Talk about a guy that slipped a little bit. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice, but I'm saying in the studio now, they used to give him a segment of the highlights for halftime shows and stuff, and you have time. You have to get it done at a certain time. The timing's key with the highlights. He just blows all that out of the water now, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
His coworkers cringe on the set, I'm telling you. Like, they literally bury their face in their hands on the set, live on TV.
Dude, people love Terry Bradshaw.
Unreal.
When he showed up when I was in Hyenas, it was Fort Worth, last time I was there, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And he showed up. I told you guys he went on stage and chopped it up for a minute. And dude, every person that saw him lost their minds and were like, oh my God, I'm going to take pictures with you. Like, you're my hero. You're my dad's hero. You're like, they love Terry Bradshaw.
Well, the one thing
don't
that
sleep
he has,
on the fact that he has a lot of fans.
Right. And I think it's because he's always happy. The dude's always a happy-go-lucky guy, regardless of the situation. Now, behind closed doors, I can't speak for that. I've never produced for him or worked with him or anything like that.
Well, I can say this. We were sitting in the green room, and he doesn't have to put on a show for anybody in the green room because it's him, all of his friends, the headliner, which he was there to see Jeff Dye, and then me. And so there was no reason for him to be pretend. Now, he had had a few, which probably doesn't surprise anybody, but he was typical Terry Bradshaw, happy-go-lucky, cutting up, making jokes, having a good time. A lot of what you see on TV. And I think that's genuinely how that dude is all the time.
There's no doubt about it. There's something to be said about people thinking he's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
He's just like me.
Fun-loving, goofy-natured, good dude.
And you can make the argument for Gruden. I mean, that's probably why a lot of us liked Gruden, because he was always kind of an upbeat kind of dude.
Yeah, he changes the narrative, though. I mean, he comes from X's and O's, ex-coach, experienced guy. But when he shows personality and he gets into the Gruden grinders and he starts doing the whole, you know, he gives you the grit. And that guy right there, he's going to get in there. You like the fact that he seems like a regular guy, but he's also an ex-coach.
Super serious.
Can still translate it all to the game today.
Yeah. Somebody suggested on the text line just now, Pat McAfee would be awesome. And I know he's got a huge following from whatever.
Pat McAfee, the one that was on Barstool?
Yeah, Barstool, yeah. I don't know. I've never listened
to him. I saw that on Twitter. Actually, someone tweeted it out.
I know he's funny and he's got a big following because of his podcast and all that stuff, but I just never gotten into that stuff. I couldn't get into the whole cult that is Barstool, because it really is a bro cult. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, that's like putting Rappaport on
that would drive me
something.
Nuts.
Yeah, again.
No. And doses, I can deal with it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Where were you on the whole Dennis Miller thing? When Dennis Miller was doing Monday Night
Football. Hated it. Okay. Absolutely hated it. It was awful.
I'm just saying it because I want to get your perspective from
as a comedian and a sports guy. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. There are plenty of people in sports that know the sport that can inject humor at times. You don't need to put a guy in there that doesn't know the sport that is making obscure references, because that's Dennis Miller's thing. Like, his thing was to make obscure references. That's what's funny about
it. Fair to say dry humor, too? Like, he used a lot of dry humor that some people weren't going to get?
It can be dry. I mean, he could be kind of silly at times, but mostly dry, mostly highbrow and obscure references. And there's just, I don't think that you need that mix when you're, you know. I mean, what I like is when you got a guy like Romo, I think, does a good job of injecting humor at the right moments. Because I'm not watching football for a comedy show. I'm watching football for the sport.
Right.
But if Tony Romo can take two referees that are discussing something and you can't hear it and make the discussion for you and make it funny, like, well, what'd you see, Bobby? I didn't see anything. I wasn't paying attention. And you're at home going, that's hilarious. That was kind of off the cuff. That's fine. But with Miller, it was always a force, like, oh, I got to get a joke in right here. And it was like, yeah, that's just, I don't think so. A guy like Peyton Manning would be a perfect example of somebody that could make it funny on the fly.
That's why I wanted to get your opinion, because I wasn't a fan of Dennis Miller either, but I'm just, like you said, I'm just random fan that wants someone that knows the game
right,
and key interesting points involving the two teams.
Yeah.
And if you get a sense of humor, it's a bonus.
If you mix in a joke every now and then, that's awesome. You know, but I want guys to make a joke, not be a joke. And I think that's where Witten had a problem, was because he was the joke.
Yeah.
And that's not good. You're pulling rabbits out of your head. You're not going to, people aren't going to like that.
Nope. Nope.
Trust us on this show. When you misspeak, people let you know and they don't like it.
And it's one thing.
Even though you're human,
when
you make mistakes.
You're doing a local show.
Right.
And you open yourself up for criticism.
Right.
But when you're on national TV and you're the only NFL game on a Monday night and everybody's watching, whether the two teams suck or not, and especially if you're a fan of one of those teams and they're sucking, they're coming at you.
Yeah. People are just throwing out ridiculous names now. Dan Patrick, Gronk. Stop. I think sometimes people just like, what name can I think of to text in?
That's different and hasn't been said.
Don't. Like, this is, no. No one's putting Gronk in a booth. I will quit football if they put Gronk in a booth. I'm done.
As a guest appearance, I wouldn't mind. Like, once...
I mean, if you're going to come in and you know, until the next commercial break and horse around or whatever, okay. But I don't want to listen to Gronk for 3 hours on a call. Are you kidding me? Dude, that was a pretty sweet pass. No, I don't need to hear all that. I don't know. I want...
No. He may be a smart guy. I'm leaving the door open. But he doesn't come across as one, and he doesn't really present his thoughts in a concise and rapid fashion.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work out so well. Now, the brutal honesty part, I can see that happening.
Gronk with Gronk?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be more silly honesty. Like, I don't know.
I could see him saying, I went out last night and tore it up and did this, that, and the other thing, and then I still
had to come
to practice.
It'd be fun in that regard.
Yeah. Right.
About partying.
And, right. Or times that he didn't exactly pay attention to clock and deadline and practice times or whatever.
Yeah, there might be some funny anecdotes or stories.
Right, but that's not...
Yeah, I don't know.
That's going to get old week after week, too.
Right.
So it'll... I mean, that's... I don't know. That would be interesting to see who... Because I'm really curious to see if they keep the three-man booth. Because, again, Ryan Clark is a guy... What I like is he's concise, he's intelligent, he knows the sport, and he's not afraid... Because I hate too many people towing the company line because you work indirectly for the NFL. You don't want to say things like the whole Antonio Brown thing. He came right out and said, no, man, I know that locker room. I know what's going on, and this is BS. That's what you want. You don't want someone that's going to be... Obviously, you're going to be influenced by corporate America and the pressure of the NFL where you can't say what you really know is going on. He's a guy that just comes out and says, I know what's going on, and that's wrong, and you were wrong, and this and that. I love that.
Okay.
But I'm not saying he should be my first in line, but I could see him doing it. Huh? So, all right.
Real quick, somebody's just a text line. What happened to OU Mike or White Magic? I don't know what happened to White Magic, but OU Mike is banned from the show.
White Magic moved to Miami.
Did he?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he texted me one day and just said, I'm moving to Miami.
Rest in peace, White Magic.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now he's going to be lost another suspect. Magic.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and OU Mike was banned from the show, so now you're called up.
Both of them were White Magic. Based on like, OU's like,
well, one was Mike. One was White Magic, one was White Power.
Yeah, or White Hood, depending on how you look at it. All right, hey, we got a half hour to go on the show. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. Kyrie Irving just can't get out of his own way. And now we're going to get some comments he had. Remember, he wasn't real talked about after the Rockets game?
Right.
He decided to elaborate yesterday. I don't think he cleared anything up, but I want to get your thoughts on
it.
All right, before we get to that, though, I want to tell you about the good friends at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a while. If you've got a leak in your roof or you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, go see my friends at Fitz Roofing. You don't even have to see them. All you've got to do is either log on to FITZRoofing.com or simply call 832-521-3001. And why do I suggest you contact them right off the top? Well, because it's a free, no-obligation inspection waiting for you, and all you got to do is contact them. They're going to come and see you, see what your roof may need, and then they'll let you know what they can do for you. At that point, it's up to you to let them know if you want to do it or not. No pressure, no obligation. You don't have to pay a thing until they actually start doing work for you, but they can tell you because they're the best in the business. How do I know that? Well, one, they use CertainTeed shingles. They are the best shingles out there. And they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. That's why you go to Fitz. Their base warranties, longer than your average roofer, better taken care of for you and for them because their customer service and the job that they do is second to none. How do I know that? Well, they have an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. people talk about the work they do, and they rave about Fitz Roofing. You've got to get in contact with Fitz Roofing if you need anything done with your roof. Again, 832-521-3001. Free, no-obligation inspection. It's Fitz Roofing. Making a difference, one home at a time. Hey, clock's on us. We got 30 minutes to go on the show. We'll be back in 60 seconds to keep it rolling right here on The Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes left to go in the big show. That means we're on the clock, and so are you, as we take you home till 4. Blitz will take you till 5:30 today, not 7 o'clock. Special on-location Blitz show from Twin Peaks Kirkwood at I-10. But mark your calendars and your watches. They're only going to do it till 5:30 because A&M basketball is on tonight. So short show on the road, Blitz, Twin Peaks, Kirkwood, I-10.
Yeah, and just to reset something that we discussed earlier in the program, because I know some of you guys joined us at 2 o'clock, some of you joined us at 3 o'clock, but yesterday going off air, we talked a little bit about a story about a man who drank his own urine for health reasons. And we got into a discussion about whether how much we would do that for. Nick said he would do it for $3. And so we were talking about that. We had a listener call and say, dude, for real, I will, if each of you pitched in $100, I would drink my urine. So we're going to hold him to that. So we're putting together we're going to have a GoFundMe account once this all gets approved by our legal department, because we have to get the legal team involved. We've gotten the higher ups to say yes. We're going to put together a GoFundMe to raise the $300, and anything we raise over $300 will go to prostate cancer research. But then we're going to bring Justin on the show, and he's going to be a man of his word and drink his own urine live on air. It's going to be awesome.
And we're not forcing him to do it.
No,
he's been very good sport about all this.
I don't think he'll do it. I would be willing to take side bets that he'll back out.
Really?
I think he'll chicken out. I think at
if
the
he
moment
does, hammer him. We get our legal team, we hammer him.
I may have to play bookie on this. That might be the part where they won't let me do that. But I'll take some side bets that whether he goes through with it or not. He's got to drink 8 ounces to earn the $300.
Do you think he gets all the way up to the stage and starts attempting to do it?
I don't know.
Or does he back out the day
before?
I
think he's going to back out here, but I don't even know if he's going to get through the full 8 ounces.
See, I don't know that he even gets to the station.
You really? Mm-hmm. You think he'll?
I think there might.
We're trying to make this happen this week, so hang tight. At Barry is funny on Twitter. At Pac-Man Joel with a K on Twitter. At the producer Nick. Once the GoFundMe is set up, we'll all tweet it out.
Yep.
So you guys can help us make this happen because it'll be on the live stream. You'll be able to watch it if you want to watch it. You'll obviously be able to hear it on the radio if you don't have access to it. So Nick is the official penis watcher. So, and just in general, but also for this. So he's going to make sure that it's actually fresh urine.
I had a guy that wanted to drink his own urine. $300 later, we hammered him for a big, big settlement. He drank 8 ounces of pee.
That would be so amazing if he really did that. That would be even better. It's tough times in the Adler household. Having to defend urine.
Nick watched his Texas hammer give me 8 ounces of good old pee.
Oh gosh,
that's so good. Red Solo cup later, and I hammered it.
Oh, that's the other question. What are we gonna use? Are we gonna use a Red Solo cup?
Let's do a Styrofoam cup.
We have to check from a sanitary thing if there's anything
A Styrofoam cup.
Okay,
no, I don't know.
But yeah, because it's not flexible.
But here's the thing. How do you know? I guess we'll just mark 8 ounces on the cup. Because we got to know that it's 8 ounces. You can't give him an 8 ounce cup. He'll spill it because it'll be full to the top. So you got to get a 16 ounce cup. We'll mark 8 on it, and then he'll have to fill that up. Which, by the way, that's not easy to do to stop if you have more than 8 ounces of pee.
But I bet it is easier when you're thinking about it going, the more I pee, the more I'm drinking.
I gotta drink, yeah. No, so it'll only be 8 ounces. So stay tuned for that. We're trying to make this happen this week.
That's going to be interesting, man. Yeah, and he was adamant about it. So that's the thing. He was gung ho, said it would pay half his rent. So.
Rico wants this on my bookie. Rico wants it on my bookie. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. But yeah, I thought at first that Justin was just like messing with us and saying, oh, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it when he called. We got his info, and then I thought, when I call him, he's going to say no. He actually followed up with me. He hit me up on private message and said, "Hey, Barry, this is Justin. I listen to the show every day, and I'm the guy that said I would drink my urine for $300. Here's my info. Let me know." So this dude is on board. So this is going to be...
So when I think about this, right? So I first thought about Bear Grylls. Would this be something right. that they would do out in the wild? But when you also think about it, a lot of times when people are trying to disinfect things out in the wild, or you have like a snake bite or whatever and you want to disinfect it, you're supposed to use pee.
So somebody said if he doesn't do it... Well, I'm sorry. I know this.
Okay.
Because I don't know about the pee on like snake bites. But I know when I was pitching this to AJ and Todd, Todd was like, "Man, I don't know. We need to call like the man centers or somebody to see if this is even healthy. Like, is this going to make him sick or is this, could this kill the guy?" And AJ goes, "No. When we were doing survival training in the military, they told us if worse comes to worse, if you're on like day 6 or 7 without water, drink your pee." So that's what he was like. So I know he's like, it would be awful. But for a survival, I'm backing up what you're saying. Yeah. For a survival perspective. Yeah, and so if worse comes to worse, that's what you
got
to do.
Not that we knew how much healthier the guy got, but the article that we were reading was ulcers. All about the fact that he was drinking a big gulp of it every day.
That's so gross. And he would, you know, let it age like fine wine.
It was a mixture of fresh and age.
Oh, God. Barrel-aged urine. Like it's a new whiskey or something.
That smells good, I'm sure.
Somebody said, yeah, in your house. Somebody said, if he doesn't do it, can I do it for $800? Legit question. No, we're not raising the price. No.
And we're not trying to make you cash.
Because then that would be $500 extra dollars that don't go to prostate cancer research. So, no. If you want to do it for $300, if he backs out, we'll consider it. But the that's the number.
We normally do a lot of these things on the fly, but the one thing all three of us agreed on from the get, from the jump, whatever we doesn't go to the person that's doing this, we want to make it go to a good cause. And there's no better cause than prostate cancer research. So there you go.
Indeed.
So we'll take care of it that way, and you guys will take care of listening, not participating, unless we ask for your participation. That's the way we normally break it down for you.
Did you see the Bear Grylls one where he drank water out of elephant dung?
Oh, God.
I didn't even gag.
Almost. I was like, that's not like popping the top on a coconut.
Good Lord. He was out in the desert. And there was nothing around except elephant poop. And he was like, oh, thank God. Watch this. And he picks up the elephant poop in his hand. And elephants, I guess, eat, you know, plants and stuff too. So you can see like straw or hay or grass or whatever in this elephant poop. And he holds it up. He cocks his head back like a baby bird like that's going to be fed from his mama. And he just starts squeezing the poop, and juice is coming out, and that's what he's drinking. Mm. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
I was like, "You have," and this dude is like, "This is his survival technique."
His immune system must be amazing.
I was just like, "Yo, that of all the stuff that I watched him do, like he would eat, you know, bugs and
right,
but to squeeze juice out of elephant dung." Was the nastiest thing I've ever seen. And it wasn't like he was like, "Oh, that's delicious." He was like, "God, this is gross."
And you're like,
"But you gotta survive."
If you're a contestant, you're like, "I could throw up here, but I need every bit of that to stay in my stomach because otherwise I'm gonna have to eat that crap that he's trying to force on me."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so gross. Yeah, it makes me nauseous just talking about it.
So I teased this before the break. Kyrie Irving finally decided to talk at length about the fact that he had a bug up his butt the other night after the Rockets game. And I told you that he's been really salty lately, like even Kevin Garnett salty, taken to another level. When he walked into the building against the Rockets, he was so ticked off.
Yeah.
So Greg Washburn from the Boston newspaper caught up with him and got him on tape. And he had a whole bunch to say. But his main thing is that he's really sick and tired of the media and all the attention NBA players get.
You tick and why you love the game of basketball. You know, I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, you know, be famous, be a celebrity, wherever embodies that. So it's a little hard for me. You know, I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level. And, you know, the distractions that come from the team sometimes can get overwhelming. And I'm human, so, and I just try not to let it seep into, you know, my teammates, and that's the most important thing, is just, you know, set an example for these young guys. And I don't even want to call them young guys, but my teammates, they really have a great great passion for the game of basketball, and they've shown that they can play at a high level. Now it's just getting there on a consistent level.
I mean, I get tired of all this stuff, just like everybody else. So, I mean, that's I said it's a constant battle, you know, because media has just gotten just outrageous. You know what I mean? Like, I just saw some the other day where, you know, even, you know, it's just he's the greatest player playing our game right now. But even seeing somebody question, like, Bron's body of work, like my body of work, KD's body of work, and, you know, the team's success falls on the best player. And whether call it fair or unfair, but nobody should ever question what type of winner those guys are. You know what I mean? What type of winner I am, or whether or not I have the team in first mentality. You know, it's like nobody wants it to be solely about them, but we take most of the responsibility, and so does the head coach.
So my first takeaway is you felt like you wanted the attention when you were quote-unquote younger. Mm-hmm. Now you're not that way. Were you younger last summer when Uncle Drew came out? They made a whole movie over your character, which, by the way, was created on a Pepsi commercial, which you got attention for as well there. So what changed?
A couple things. One, you said you wanted out from under LeBron's shadow. You wanted to be your own man and be your own leader, and this is what comes with the territory. That was my first thing. And we talked about that earlier when we talked about Kyrie. You can't say you want to be the man, and then once you're the man, not want to handle what comes with that, because LeBron has to do it everywhere he goes, whether it's L.A., Miami, or Cleveland. He was still the man, even in Miami, and he had to fade it if they struggled. So that's your job. Number two, I found it a little presumptive on his part when he compared himself to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Sorry, Kyrie. You're not one of the three best players in the NBA.
Now you've won one ring. Those guys have multiples.
Not just that, but just from body of work and superstar status, you're definitely a star in the NBA. But there's about three or four guys that are in that superstar elite category, and you're not one of them. So to say, well, LeBron and KD and me, you're not the same, bro. Sorry, not the same. You're not LeBron or KD.
And the biggest thing to me is when he says, I just want to play basketball at a very high level. Well, then go play in a rec league and have a real job and realize the media is going to go away, but so is the money, and so is all the bright lights. And the same cameras that you get ticked off are following on your way into the ball game, and the same reporters that are asking questions after, you're going to be longing to have those back, because when you look at your paycheck at the end of the day, you realize it goes with the territory, but the territory is compensated extremely well.
Yeah.
And you're not giving that up anytime soon.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So it's a give and take, bro. And you got to give if you're going to take every attention chance you get for movies and commercials and things like that.
Preach.
Nike, Pepsi, the movie. I mean, this dude's been all over the place.
Preach.
So, all right, we got one segment to go in the show. We're going to turn over to the Blitz at 4. They're going to take you till 5:30. They're at Twin Peaks, Kirkwood and I-10 on your way home. You got nothing to do? Catch a little happy hour with AJ, Fred, and Aaron. And then on your way home, listen to A&M Basketball right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Again, we'll finish up here, turn it over to the Blitz. They'll take you till 5:30 tonight, and then A&M Basketball takes over. But you can go out and see them, Kirkwood I-10 Twin Peaks. Fred, AJ, and Aaron will be there till 5:30. I'm sure they'll hang out a little bit, but check them out. And then on the way home, listen to the A&M game as you head home to enjoy the rest of your evening.
Do it.
You guys voting for Mark Cuban for president?
No.
It's out there again.
I would not do that.
He is kicking it around again. He said he's judging and gauging the support and interest he would have. But if the circumstances were right, he said he would do it. And if he did, he'd run as an independent. I guess if you go from the Trump boardroom, you're fired TV show, that you can go from Shark Tank to become president of the United States.
I kind of feel like, though, when it comes to that, haven't we already done this experiment now? Uh-huh. We've already been through the, you know, everybody was clamoring for someone that wasn't a politician, and we got that. And I'm not so sure that I like a not politician. Not that I love politicians, but sometimes that polish helps. So I don't know. I'm not in on Mark Cuban. I can't do that.
And he's on the fence. I mean, he's back and forth. You know, back in 2017, he said that he would see what happens, but he'd consider it. Then he came back now recently again to say that he's thinking about it. I don't know if this is just an attention grab.
Oh, because well, you're right. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, because he said, you know, if the circumstances were right, I would. Well, I'm sure the circumstances would have to be that it would be weighed heavily in your favor, that a ton of people would come out and support you. And that, with that, I mean, not only with just their votes, but their money.
Right.
And you know, you could get a whole bunch more notoriety. I just think it's a – just because we had this situation, you're right, with our country, doesn't mean that it's a slam dunk easy thing to do and everybody should do it.
No, and I mean, it's kind of like, you know, he's a good businessman. Sure, that's great. And he knows how to run, you know, a company. Okay, but it's a lot different to run a country. And we've already had a shrewd businessman that knew how to run companies as the president. I want somebody that's, you know, not, I don't want, like, the problem with Cuban is, too, he's kind of flamboyant. He's kind of out there, like Donald Trump is. I just want a president to be presidential. I don't want him to be more Hollywood than they are president.
And I hope he took notes and realized, look, when you say shrewd businessman, you can get away with a ton in the business world that you don't have to report to, that you don't have people scouring documents over and finding out exactly how you did what you did. And if you made a deal that worked both ways or it made you money, so be it. You're finding out real quick when you're the president of the United States and everything is scrutinized. Mm-hmm. A lot of those things aren't legal. And you can get in trouble for it. So much so that if you're trying to make a business deal while you're the president of the United States with another country, you're going to get dinged for that.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah. It's a bad idea.
I completely agree.
And not that I want another Clinton or Bush in office either. I think those families have had a nice run. I'm all for somebody else.
The main thing is you're doing really good. This is like when we talk about Gruden leaving the booth. Or Jason Witten going back to play football, whatever it is. When you figure out you're doing something where you've got a great life, making an incredible income, and you're not nearly as stressed out as you would be if every day you were worried about Al-Qaeda and, right. You know, and South Korea and all these other things, you're pretty good where you're at. Stay there.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, real quick, I know we're going to get out of here in just a bit, but I wanted to play this clip. I published the audio for or the episode 4 for my podcast, The 15, and I really think people are sleeping on this interview with Ken Bone. I know that dude doesn't come across as a guy that would be funny or interesting. This was maybe one of the most interesting interviews I've done, and not just for the podcast. I'm talking about on this show too, and we've interviewed some really interesting people, and including, you know, the awesome we got to interview guys like Ice Cube. This dude was so funny. We talked about, you know, when he got busted on his porn comments on Reddit. We talked about anything and everything. And at one point I was asking him about, like, you know, there was all kind of stuff that dropped with Ken Bone shirts and everything else. And he talked about stuff that I didn't even know existed. And this is what he told me. Check this out.
There was a Catholic prayer candle with my face on it. They called me the patron saint of indecision. I thought that was kind of neat.
I didn't get
any of that money.
I mentioned the Halloween costumes. Did you happen to run into anybody dressed up for Halloween as Ken Bone?
There were a few. I dressed up as Obi-Wan Ken Boney. I had all my Ken Bone stuff on. I put a Jedi robe over it.
That is outstanding, Ken. Oh, my God.
And a couple parents dressed as Ken Bone, you know, were taking their kids Halloween in that night and showed up at the door.
Could you imagine you show up to Ken Bone's house dressed as Ken Bone? There's some sort of Inception Halloween thing going on there where you're like, you're dressed as Ken Bone. He's dressed as Ken Obi-Wan Ken Boney.
Which is fantastic, that's awesome. By the way.
But literally the whole interview was just like that clip. It's just him. He talks about how he's like, well, no one wants their grandma to know what kind of porn they look at. So that wasn't very cool. It's I'm telling you, man. Go to it's the15podcast.com is the website, but it's literally on anywhere you can get a podcast. Just search for the 15, episode number 4, Ken Bone. It's worth a listen. That dude is hilarious.
Leave a rating too. 5 stars.
Yeah, leave me a rating, please.
That's the thing. You know what? It's so refreshing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
When you see a guy and you go, yeah, he had his 15 minutes of fame, but he's probably not that personable and everything. And then you just played me the quote off air. First, his first soundbite, and I was like, oh, that dude's funny, and he's got a personality.
Yeah.
He's self-deprecating. It's fantastic.
Because when you see him, he's, you know, he's kind of goofy looking, and he talks about that. I was like, why do you think he went viral? He's like, I'm a goofy looking dude with a mustache and a red sweater. But I knew what I was talking about, and people gravitated towards that. And he owns who he is and what he is, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know that I'm gonna be able to top that this year. This is probably interview of the year for the 15 because he was hilarious.
Does he not look like he should be either a Bears fan or one of the guys that do the Ditka skit on Saturday Night Live? He looks like if Ditka kind of ate too much.
He does. Yeah.
He's got that look. Give him the sweater vest with Bears on it, and he'd be a Ditka fan.
He kind of does, man.
Yeah.
Not a cool looking dude, but yeah, that's funny.
What is it?
Obi-Wan Ken Boney. He put the red sweater and the khakis on, and he tells the story like the red sweater isn't what he was originally going to wear.
And you had said that on the air.
Yeah, so he talks about that. It was really interesting. I'm so excited about the interview.
That's
why I want
get.
People to not miss it. It's really good.
So catch that and catch up on the ones you missed, too, because Barry's already had a lot of great guests. Going to have a whole lot more. And if you missed the premise behind it, Barry, you might as well tell them again. But
yeah, 50, it's called The 15 because I want to interview people that have gone viral. It's not sports-related necessarily, although we did have our friend of the show, Marvin Pearson, on, who's a blind and deaf football player. But he went viral after being on Ellen. So I just take people that went viral and interview them and find out what their life is like. Because all we really know is what they went viral for. We don't know the rest of the story. So just trying to delve into that and figure it out.
There you have it. Hey, guys, we appreciate having you as usual suspects to the show. And again, way back Wednesday tomorrow, songs with artists that start with P.
Yeah.
Or Master P, I guess, if we made one exception.
Not Master P.
Just artists that start with
P. Yeah. And speaking of P's, Pac-Man Joel already got his list in with Jerk.
You can thank me later. You're welcome. I'm doing to you what you've done unto me, so do unto others, and then have a good evening.
Hey, listen, we talked about this earlier in the show, and some of you guys are sweating it out because the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge is coming to an end soon, and you need to lose some weight quick, and you need to do it quickly so you can win those great prizes that we have. Get out to Vortex. They're running a special right now. $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. You've got about a week and a half left. Take advantage of that opportunity to get out there and get some of the best workouts in the city. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. That's all they do. They do cycling and boxing. You're not going to get a bunch of weights and gym rats that are sweating and don't wipe down the machines and taking selfies in the mirror. Nope. You show up, you got folks either boxing or riding the bikes in the spin class. They've got all the equipment for you. It's a great full body workout. It only takes 45 minutes. You're in, you're out. Grab you a smoothie on the way out from the refuel bar. You're good to go. It's clean. They clean after every class. The locker rooms are immaculate and well thought out. You've got USB ports in your lockers to charge your phones. There's nothing they haven't thought of. The staff is amazing. The athlete trainers are amazing. You are going to love Vortex. That's why I want you to give it a shot and take advantage of that 1 week special, $40, unlimited walk-in classes. And then you can figure out where you want to go from there. 1707 West Gray is where they are located. 281-501-3094 is the number. That's 281-501-3094. Or better yet, just get online, go to vortextexas.com to sign up and get info. One more time, it's vortextexas.com. This is The Usual Suspects. The Blitz is up next. We will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.